at our youth rally service on how to deal with somebody at the altar. And so I hope that you'll be there. We'll need a lot of altar workers. Wouldn't hurt us here in the church, too. When somebody comes to the altar, and if it's a lady comes to the altar, ladies be willing to slip out and help somebody pray at the altar. It's embarrassing for somebody just goes to the altar and pray, and a lot of times they don't even know what to do or say, and they need somebody to guide them. And it also would make them, you know, take a little bit of the... to us, it's nothing to go to the altar. But you imagine going to church the first time and a lot of people there, and, you know, the devil is telling you not to do it. So it's a big thing to a lot of people. And specialists never done it. So that's what we'll be doing next Wednesday night at the fairground. And we need everybody that can help us. Monday evening, they'll be working. We're going to set up around 1,000 chairs. We're going to sweep. Ladies bring mop buckets and stuff like that. We'll clean the restrooms. And they don't even have anybody over there now staying. So Donna won't be there. And it'll be all on us. So let's get to work Friday evening. I'm sorry. All right. Tonight, let's take our Bible, turn to James chapter 5, the book of James, chapter number 5. And we'll look here in the Word of God this evening. James chapter 5. This is the verse that I read Sunday night, and I didn't get to all of it, but I'm going to give you some examples tonight, some examples of prayer. Now, we're going to meet Friday night for all-night prayer meeting. Is there anybody in here that does not need prayer? Anybody does not need prayer? Okay. We all do. I do. I need all I can get. You do. Like the old preacher said, I need the prayers and you need to practice. And that's true. We all need to practice. And James chapter 5, verse 16 said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we preached about that, that last word, availeth. I didn't say a lot about it, but it means accomplishes an end. It profits. It makes an advantage. So tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to encourage you to pray and not to faint. One time the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. That means it don't come natural. You have to learn. I'll never forget, I'm still learning how to pray, but I'll never forget when I first got saved, church, I'd go preach somewhere and then have prayer room, and all the men would get back there, and they'd take prayer requests, and they'd all get down the floor, and I would listen to men, and they'd say, oh, God, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask you, Lord, for your glory. And I listened to them, and it was like teaching me how to pray. If you'll think about it, you learn how to pray by hearing other people pray and by reading the Bible. You pray for God's will to be done. You pray for the Lord to forgive all of our sins. You pray for God to help us. You pray that the devil will be run off from here. We pray all these things. And we don't have many folks today that learn how to agonize. Churches don't agonize. They organize, but they don't agonize. A lot of churches, they got everything organized. They have a committee for this and a committee to keep the microphone wires straight, which that wouldn't be a bad idea. They have a committee to make sure the flowers are right. They have a committee, and nothing wrong with that, but it'll never take the place of agonizing. Agonizing is what we need. Instead of praying, they're playing. Instead of fasting, they're feasting. And we need to learn how. I mean, there's nothing wrong with feasting, but we ought to do some fasting. There's nothing wrong with playing, but we better do some praying. And there's nothing wrong with organizing, but we better do some agonizing. Because that's the Christian life. The Christian life is learning how to agonize with God. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. If you weren't here Sunday night, effectual means capable of producing the desired effect, having a legal force. You know, if you go downtown and you say, a man built a fence on my property and I want it moved. They'll say, well, how do you know it's your property? Well, I know it is. I know where my line is. He built a fence on my property. You got to make him move it. And the other guy comes in and says, that ain't your land. It's my land. You have to go to court with that. And if you can come into court with a legal document that says and shows a survey that it's your land, he ain't got a case. That's what effectual is. That's word effectual. If you can come to God with a legal document, that's the Bible, and say, God, you said in the Word that you want this and that, see, that'll get you in the door right there. The judge will say, okay, I'll rule in your favor, man. You want the Lord to rule in your favor? Come with a legal document and say, I present this to you, God. You said it's not your will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Now, here it is. And the Lord, you've got your foot in the door. You've got your foot in the door. Now, if you just say, I want a brand new black Cadillac, or I want a big Ford pickup truck, you might get it, you might not. But you don't have no legal claim to it. There's no scripture that says God, he might put you in a black Cadillac for long, in the back end of it laying down, but he probably ain't going to give you one. And there'd be nothing wrong if he did. There's nothing wrong with asking him for a black Cadillac if that's what you're wrong. I tell you the truth, you can ask the Lord for whatever you want. Sometimes I think we'd be better off that we're saying, oh, I don't deserve nothing, and we don't ask for nothing. He said, you have not because you what? Ask not. Wouldn't it be something if you got to heaven and the Lord said, I was going to do this, and I was going to give you $1 million, and you said, what? But you never did ask for it. You ask not. You have not because you ask not. There's some things that we don't have because all we don't ask. You know, if you've raised kids, there's a lot of times my kids, they wouldn't have got nothing. But they come to me and ask, Daddy, we're going here. Can I have $10? We're going to Pizza Hut. I wasn't going to give them nothing. And then I said, oh, I reckon you'll pull it out and give it to them. But if they hadn't, they have not because they ask not. So ask God for big time. I mean, all you can say is no. Ask him for what you need. Ask him for what you need. Ask him for your kids. Ask him for your. Ask him. Ask the Lord to do a mighty work at the youth rally like's never been done before. Amen. He can do it. He can do it. We have not because we ask not. You know what I'm going to ask him for? I'm not asking him to let me preach a great sermon. I'm not. I don't ever get down and say, Lord, let me preach a great. I don't ever do that. You know what I ask him for? For power and conviction. That's what I ask him for. The sermon don't matter. It don't matter how good and eloquent you are, brother, if there ain't no power. Amen? We all hear preachers on TV and radio that everything they say is just wonderful and no power. And that's what we need. Jason mentioned to me the other night about when he's preaching, he thought he didn't do no good. And somebody else came up and said, boy, that really helped me. And that, you can't say, boy, we nailed that song. We sung it perfect. Well, I tell you, that don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. It's the touch of God. We sang about old Ugg the other night. Somebody's asking me about Ugg. Y'all know Ugg, the girl from Kentucky, Brother Gary Hunt's wife. I don't even know what her real name is. Ugg. That's West Virginia. I think her name's Alicia, but everybody calls her Ugg. And she got up here and sung, I'm drinking from a saucer because my cup has overflowed. You know, I've heard of that song on the radio and everything. And it didn't do nothing to me like it did when she sung it. I mean, she had that old West Virginia twang, and she said, ain't God a lot of riches. And when she sung it, I pictured him up in them mountains of West Virginia and barely can pay their bills. And Obama's trying to shut the coal mines down, and the government's against them and everything. And I thought, Lord, have mercy, Lord. I about come out of the frame a time or two. And that's what it is, people. It's power. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. If you want to come up here and pray for something Friday night, pray for God's power. Pray for God's power. Amen. I mean, more than anything else, God's power. I'm all for the great weather. I'm all for the food tasting good. I'm all for the fellowship and the singing. But, brother, if all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes. I mean, it's a waste of thousands of dollars if God don't come and do a work. And that's what I'm praying for. Well, let's talk about some men in the Bible who prayed, and let you help me. If you won't talk back to me, that's fine. The first thing I want to tell you is Abraham prayed with commitment. Now, if I'm going to learn how to pray, I'm going to find out how men in the Bible prayed. Abraham prayed with commitment. In Genesis 22:11, the angel of the Lord called Abraham, and Abraham said, "Here I am. Here I am." You know what he said? "Here I am." He didn't say, "What would you like me to do, Lord, before I say yes?" Sometimes I've asked people, I said, "I need you to do something for the youth rally." And people say, "What is it?" I said, "Never mind. Don't need you." You know what Abraham said? He said, "Lord, here I am. Here I am. I'm volunteering for service." Abraham prayed with commitment. I'm telling you, we got a good crowd here tonight. If every one of us here tonight would lay our life on that altar right there and say, "Lord, here I am." Listen, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I don't claim that everything I've always done right. I don't. I mean, I've done some stupid things and probably will if I live longer. But I can tell you this. I have begged God for the last, I always have, but for the last few weeks and months, I have begged God, whatever you want in my life, you bring it. You know why? Because He knows best. God knows best. We don't. We may think this and we may think that, but God knows what we need and what we don't need. And I'm laying my life. I am not being a hypocrite. I'm laying my life down saying, "Lord, here I am. Here I am." Now that's mighty big talk, but I mean it because I know He knows best. He ain't going to hurt you. The Lord ain't going to hurt you, for heaven's sake. I mean, people say, "Well, I'm scared to just give my..." You think you know better than He does? No, you don't. You don't know better than He does. He knows best because He knows the future. And He knows there's no telling what He knows that we don't know. Good night, there's no telling how many of them jams He's kept me out of that I was too stupid. I would have run right off in the ditch if He hadn't have protected me. No telling. And so you trust the Lord all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, and all the ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy promise. All right? Abraham prayed with commitment. And look what it cost him. He had to take his son up there and lay him on that altar, and he drew that knife and was ready to kill his son. And he would have. He would have. And God stopped him. He said, "All right, now I know you love me, Abraham." Right over there is the ram caught in the thicket. He let the boy go, sacrificed the ram, and Abraham went down in history for that. Abraham went down in history because he said, "God, I'm willing to do whatever." Kathy Parker, they used to try to get her to sing that song. "Take my houses and land, change my dreams and my plans, for that's what I'd be willing." And she said, "I can't sing that, Brother Danny." She said, "I'm not trying to sound like I'm backslidden, but that's a mouthful." I said, "It is. I won't sing it either." You know what you're saying? "Lord, take my house, my land, change my dreams, change my plans, take my kids, take my family." I was always scared to death that the Lord would let... I'd get up and preach, "Help them missionaries." I always think, "Lord, don't call one of my girls to Cambodia or somewhere." But that ain't right. That ain't right. I was wrong. But man, I thought, that's one reason I didn't want them to go off to college somewhere, because I was afraid they'd meet some Yankee and move to Chicago, and I'd never see them. And they met three rednecks from Nebo, now I can't get rid of them. I'm just kidding. But I remember thinking, buddy, it's a mouthful when you say, "Lord, I'm putting my kids in your hand." My kids. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. But it's a right prayer. It's a right prayer. And the truth is, I'd rather my girl be in Chicago serving God than in Nebo living for the devil. I really had. But I want them in Nebo living for God. That's what I want. None of us want our kids to go away off somewhere. But if that's what it has, if that's God's will. Yeah.
When the situation...
Yeah.
And she didn't think about what she was saying. And the Lord said, "I can."
Amen.
So I said, "Honey, you can see him all the time. And he can intervene."
Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about prayer for a kid.
Yeah, because the older they get, the more time they're away from you. And then eventually they get married and move out. And they're gone. And then what are you going to do? Lord, you know where they're at. You talk to them. You watch over them. And I don't know. Maybe some of y'all don't feel like it. Maybe you hope and pray and they do get gone. I hope not. But Abraham was willing to give his son, his only son. And I mean, he waited for that guy for 100 years. He's 99, brother. And that son finally came. And then God asked him to kill him. That's a mouthful. That's a prayer. I was listening to Dr. Ruckman preach this week, and he's talking about in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you hear, you ever thought about that? The Lord said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And I mean, he was Jesus, and you have all kinds of interpretations of that. Some preachers pray that he was praying he wouldn't have to die on the cross. That's ridiculous. He knew he's dying on the cross. He's done committed to that. One preacher said that he was trying to get out of the suffering. That ain't true. You know what he was praying? He's all that moment when all the sin of the world would be placed on him and the Father turned his back. And that's what he was praying. If there's any other way of doing this, listen to this. He said, God, if there's any other way to get this done, please could we do it? And listen to this. Nevertheless, not what I will. That's a prayer there, brother. That's a man. Jesus Christ was a man. But he wasn't like you to put him in these movies. Red hair and white skin and little hands about that wide right there. Like a girl. He was a man. But that's a man's prayer right there. Man, it takes a man to say, they're going to put all the sin of the world. He never had sin on him. Ever. And I'm going to take it every bit. Nevertheless, not what I will, thine be done. That's a man right there. That's a man's prayer. God help us men that we can be more like that. God help us men to be a man and stand up and say, God, whatever your will is, thy will be done, not mine. And I'm telling you something, folks. Are you willing to put your life in God's hands like that? I pray that prayer. There's stuff I want and there's stuff I don't want. There's stuff I hope happens. There's stuff I don't hope happens. But I'm going to say, Lord, you know best. And whatever you do, whatever you want to do, that's fine with me. Whatever you want to do, that's fine with me. I've lived long enough. I used to try to argue with the Lord. But Lord, I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that. And it didn't do no good. Because if you get something he don't want you to have, it'll sour on you. So just pray your will be done. All right? Let me tell you another man. Jacob. Jacob prayed with courage. Jacob prayed with courage. In Genesis 33 and 23, he said, this angel come down. And this angel and Jacob got into it. And he said, I want you to bless me. And the angel said, sorry, I got to go back to heaven. I got stuff I got to do. He grabs this angel. Think about that. And wrestles him down and said, I ain't letting go till you bless me. Now that's a picture of us wrestling in prayer. Do you realize, folks, I hope... My job's real discouraging sometimes because I preach to some people for years and years and years, and then they do the dumbest, most immature things, and I think they couldn't know the Bible or they wouldn't do that. And I think, am I wasting my breath or what? Is anybody getting it? Sometimes they do and sometimes you don't. Let me ask you something. Have you ever wrestled in prayer? Most people haven't. Most people don't even know what that means. Here's what it means. You get down and say, God, Lord, please, God bless you. God, please. And then you're such in agony that you're gritting your teeth and you're gritting your feet. And Jesus prayed that way and was sweating on a cold night. That's what wrestling is. Wrestling. Jacob wrestled with an angel. He grabbed out of that angel and said, you ain't going nowhere. I got me an angel here, buddy, tonight. I ain't letting go of him. No, I may never see another angel. You're going to bless me. And it knocked his hip out of joint, buddy. He went around and limped the rest of his life because of that thing. But boy, did he get it. He had power with God, the Bible says. Wouldn't it be good if every one of us took a... Now, we'll have some preaching Friday night. Kevin, Kathy, and a bunch of other preachers coming. Our preachers here preach. Sometimes people preach about a 5-10 minute sermon. And wouldn't it be good... I'd like to hear a good sermon on Jacob wrestling with that angel. And we'll get a hold of God and just wrestle in prayer. Wrestle in prayer. Listen, I want us to give it all this week, y'all. We can celebrate a week from Sunday night. We can shout a week from Sunday night. We can eat ice cream and cake a week from Sunday night. Let's shout. Let's work now and pray now and bear the burden now, and then we can shout when the thing's over. But let's pray with courage. That's importunity. Do you know what importunity is? Jesus said, because of her importunity. Importunity means not giving up, not quitting. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. You hear some people on TV say, all you got to do is ask him one time. Name it, claim it. That's that kind of preaching. That's not Bible teaching. The Bible don't teach you just walk in there and say, Lord, I want you to do this, 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 and that. Claim it in Jesus' name and walk out. The Bible teaches they wrestled with prayer. Jesus stayed out all night in prayer to God. Repetitions over and over. There's nothing wrong. Let me say it again. There is nothing wrong with repetition in prayer. It's vain repetitions that Jesus said was useless. Vain repetitions is this. Hail Mary, Mother of God, hear us now in the hour of our death. Our Father, which art in twill. That's vain repetition. It's meaningless. It's chanting. It don't come from the heart. Well, you're saying, oh God, please, God bless Brother Danny. God bless our church. Oh God, help that person. Help that person. Bless. Help his situation. Oh God, please. Oh God, please, Lord, please. And say, you can say that 10 million times when it's coming from your heart. That's not vain. That's the way you get somewhere. The way you get somewhere is courage. Stay with God. All right, let me give you another guy. Moses prayed with concern. Abraham prayed with commitment. Jacob prayed with courage. And Moses prayed with concern. Exodus 32, 30. He said, if you'll forgive their sin. This is a verse, boy. Oh, Moses told him, he said, Lord, if you can forgive their sin, forgive it. And God, if you got to kill me or blot me out of your book, do that. My goodness, think about that. Lord, blot me out of your book. He was willing to die and go to hell for them people. That's concern. That's concern. Paul did the same thing. He said, I could wish myself to be accursed for my brethren, the Jewish people. That's concern, buddy, when you start wishing it off on yourself. That Lord, I mean, it's impossible that we could go to hell for somebody else. But he said, I'm willing to. He said, I'd be willing to go to hell if God would save my brethren according to the flesh. That's concern. Number four, David prayed with confession. David prayed with confession. So what do we got? Abraham with commitment, Jacob with courage, Moses with concern, David prayed with confession. Psalm 51:3. He said, I acknowledge mine iniquity. My sin is ever before me. Confess sin, all sin, hidden sin, inner sin, outward sin, open sin, sins of commission, sins of omission. So ask the Lord to forgive you for not going visiting and being a knocking on something. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Sin ain't just what you do. Many times sin is what we don't do. Ask the Lord to forgive you for not giving or not praying or not reading your Bible. Ask the Lord to say, forgive me of everything I ain't done that I should have done. Ask the Lord to say, God, forgive me for everything that I have done that I shouldn't have done. Ask with forgiveness. Pray forgiveness with confession. Confession. There is nothing wrong with confessing your sins to God and saying, Lord, I'm wrong here, I'm wrong there. You know I got a big mouth and I gossip, and you know I listen to gossip. And Lord, you know that I didn't pay my tithes the other day, Lord, and I stole that money, and I'm sorry, I'll make it up this week. And God, you know that I said an unkind word to my husband or wife, and I've been hateful. And God, forgive me. He already knows it anyway. You might as well ask him to forgive you. Say, Lord, forgive me. All right, number five, Elijah prayed with confidence. Confidence in 1 Kings 18. You know that story? He prayed 63 words, and the Bible said the fire fell. The skeptics believed. God answered prayer, and the prayer of faith will move God's hand to move mountains. Got any mountains you think are uncrossable? Got any rivers you can't, or rivers you got uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things that are impossible, and He will work a miracle for you. Amen. Glory to God, people. Y'all are sitting there like, it would really be nice if that were true. It is true. The Lord will work for you. He will work for you. You don't have to be perfect. You ain't never going to be as long as you're in this world. You just got to pray and believe Him and trust Him and confess and get your heart clean and keep on praying and pray effectually according to the Word of God. Elijah prayed, and that fire came down and licked up that water around that trough. And brother, them old false prophets hit the trail down the road. Number six, Daniel prayed with conviction. Daniel prayed with conviction. The windows of heaven being opened, kneel three times a day, even when it is against the rules. Kids, you may pray at school. You shouldn't pray while they're teaching English class. You should listen and pay attention. You can pray on your break. You can pray at lunch. You can pray before. You can pray down there. Somebody put up a sign one time that said, as long as there are final exams, there will be prayer in school. That's true. They pray. Kids pray. And I don't blame them. I would too. So you can pray everywhere. If it's against the law, we pray anyway. That's what Daniel did. That's what Daniel did. What if they passed a law against praying in Burke County? And then they come to your house and say, have you been praying? No, sir. No, sir. I don't want to go to jail. Well, you're wrong. You're wicked. If it ever comes to that, we better keep praying. Because they're just going to put you in jail and you're going to rot and die anyway. Lord, I'd rather die and go to heaven and go be with Jesus than to rot in jail out of God's will. Amen? Now listen, Daniel prayed with conviction. And finally, the publican prayed with contrition, being contrite, a contrite heart, contrition. Luke 18 and verse 13. You know what he said? He come up before the Lord that day, and there was two men. I'll say that and I'm done. Two men come up before the Lord. There stood one, and there stood one. One of them was a Pharisee, one of them was a publican. The Pharisee stood and said within himself, Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men. I pay tithes of all that I possess. I fast twice in the week. I do that. I carry a King James Bible and wear a tie. I'm glad that I'm not like these wicked, wicked people. And God never heard a word that guy said. Amen. And the publican's over here, man, smote his breast, the Bible said, and wouldn't even look up and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's contrition. Contrition is, God, I'm a sorry, low down, good for nothing dog, have mercy on me, and mean it. There's the way you get an answer. You don't come to God with this arrogant attitude of, I'm special, so therefore you should hear me. You come to God with, Lord, I'm a no good sinner, I'm sorry, God, you're going to have to help me, have mercy on me, and that's what we'll do. Friday night, Lord willing, we will pray with contrition, we will pray with conviction, we will pray with confidence, we will pray with confession, we will pray with concern, we will pray with courage, and we'll pray with commitment. And I'm going to keep this little outline here in my, if some of you are taking notes, write those words down, and when we meet, we'll pray that way Friday night. It's my prayer that God will put a spirit of prayer in our church. I've had a couple people just say lately, seems like the Lord's really doing something in our church lately. And you can feel it. You could feel it Sunday morning, couldn't you? I'm telling you, the choir Sunday morning was tremendous. Really tremendous. I come in that close to saying, well, maybe we ought to just sing it out this morning. I come back, but it's a very hard decision for a preacher to make. Really, really hard. But I'm telling you, it got real in here Sunday morning. Let's pray. This Sunday's Easter. Traditionally, Easter Sunday service is dead as 4 o'clock. You have all these visitors in. Everybody's all cleaned up. And let's pray that God will give us a Holy Ghost Easter service. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Because you always got to see all these visitors and lost people and everything, and we're almost overpowered with them sometimes. Let's pray God will give our bus workers are planning a big day. They're going to have an egg hunt. We had that good meeting Sunday night. Sean has brought us these things here. These are bus workers. These are little youth rally flyers. We want to take them to the homes and give everybody one of these for the youth rally the following weekend. Good night. Who's that mom? It made me look like some little monster. We're going to cut that off. But some guy that found the other day said, a little kid said, I saw your picture on that sign. I said, yeah, that scares way more people. They'll be scared to come when they see that. But anyway, we'll get these tonight, bus workers. We're having our egg hunt Sunday morning, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So sunrise service at 7. I know you can't do everything. You can't stay up all night Friday night and work a bus route all day Saturday. And I understand that. But everybody do your part and everybody do your job. Now, I plan on doing it all, Lord willing, but I'm crazy. And it's what the Lord's called me to. But I do plan on staying home Saturday evening and studying. But Kerrigan's got a birthday party. She asked Kerrigan, I said, Carrie, I can't stay up and pray all night Friday night and go visiting Saturday morning, go birthday party Saturday evening. So she made us another one for Friday that we can have. So I'm going to go to it on Friday. But everybody that I asked to see you tonight, if you don't mind staying just a minute tonight, we'll do that, okay? All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And let's ask God for a spirit of prayer to come on us, on me, on you, on our church. We got problems? That's the answer. You got a problem with you and somebody else? Are you mad at your sister or brother or mom or dad or something? You know what the answer is? Pray it out. Pray it out. Say, God, you show me. God, you give me your will. God, you put your spirit on me and make me what I need to be. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Father, please help us tonight.